You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Ankarad has been sharing the ups and downs of her wedding planning on Twitter, and she's here today to tell us about the things she's done, what she's got left to do, and how it's all been. Hi, Ankarad. So, did you have a clear idea of what you wanted the wedding to be like from the start, or have things changed as you've been going along?
It has definitely changed. I wanted something very small, but my partner's in the military, and if you know anything about that, they get to wear their special dress ones for their wedding, so he wanted a bigger wedding.
And what was the easiest thing for you to plan so far?
Probably the cake, because my friend's making it.
Oh, that's so nice. What kind of cake will you have?
So I like the classic, not rustic, but just plain, because I'm in that mindset, if I can't see it, no one else gets to. So there's no details that I won't be able to see.
And what's been one of the most difficult things to plan so far?
The venue and my dress. So we have a venue now, but we went to about 4 or 5, and the amount of people who say they're accessible, and because I have to try to cater to quite a lot of disabilities, a lot of my guests are disabled in various ways, and they were like, yeah, we're wheelchair accessible, we have accessible toilets, and there would be like a small step I'd trip over. I'm like, where are you accessible? Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, we have a disabled loo. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't make you accessible.
And was that happening at quite a lot of venues that you went to?
Yeah, I always make a point of trying to see if I go to ask if I can use the loo. And I went to a few and they were actually using the disabled loo as a cleaning cupboard. And I was like, you are not getting my money. Got a few wheelchair users coming and there was just no ramps, and you try to make accessibility requests and you were just flat out refused. So we went with the venue, who are kind of bending over backwards to make accommodations. I mean, the one we chose has actually installed ramps because I'm coming there to get married. They're even getting training from guide dogs, because there'll be a few guide dogs at my wedding, and they're assigning staff to a few of the disabled people to like give them a tour around the venue before the wedding starts so they know where they're going.
Yeah, that's fantastic. How accessible have you found the other businesses you've been interacting with?
My invites were brilliant. I sent a message to the person I wanted them from. I sent the image and I said, I want this but in a different colour and changed bits and things. And I was like, but I'm blind, so I have to trust you completely to get this right the first time, because I've only got, my partner's only home like every other weekend, so he can only spot check things then, and that's it, we have one shot at this. And she was like, no, that's absolutely fine, and she went through everything, she even phoned me up, which isn't something she usually does, read everything to me, explained what was on and what she had to change and what she's added to make it fit my theme, which I didn't even ask her to do. I had a list of people who I'm sending the invites to, and at the side of them I put kind of their disability, only for the venue to know which rooms need to be assigned to people. And on the ones that says VI, she's either made bigger or is attributed Braille to the ones I know read it, which I didn't ask, and that's amazing. I wasn't charged any more for that either. My wedding dress has been a nightmare. I've been in contact for about 10 different stores, and I've been to about 5. And I either can't get service because they won't let me get an appointment with my guide dog, or they're just really rude. People in wedding dress industry seems to have this obsession about weight and losing weight. And it's like, you don't need to lose weight. The person who you're marrying likes you as you are now. So why does it matter if I lose weight? I was asked if I had tried tanning because the colours didn't suit me. And I was like, you're meant to get the dress to suit me. I was told I was too short and I should try being taller. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll just put my other legs on, shall I? I was told I didn't look good with my glasses on, that I should consider losing more weight to have more options in my dress.
Horrible. After having to go through all of that, you found a dress that you like?
Sort of. I found elements of a dress I like, and we're going to completely bespoke make it because the dress I want doesn't exist.
Can you tell us a bit more about the dress that you want?
The dress I want has a jacket over it, and this jacket is longer than the dress. It has a big train with all buttons down the back of it, but the jacket kind of adds the drama to the dress. And it's not too much detail, because like I said, if I can't see the details, nobody coming to my wedding gets to see them.
Do you have any advice for other blind and partially sighted people who are planning or are going to plan a wedding?
When you're going to pick your venue, have your list of what you need and what you want and go straight in with, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what you offer. Can you provide this? Yes, no. Don't waste your time on the tours if they can't provide it. Make sure you do your checks yourself because they will say, oh, yeah, we're accessible. And it turns out they just have a handwriting. And remember that it's their job to make adjustments for you, not the other way around. Be firm, but know what you want. Because if you go in not knowing what you want, other people won't know what you want. And then you're just going to get frustrated and confused.
And what do you still have left in your planning?
Not a lot, if I'm honest. Flowers are sorted out. My florist was very helpful. I told her kind of what I wanted, and she took me around the shop because turns out there's more than one variety of white rose. Who knew? And she took me around the store to smell them because that's more important to me than how they look. And yeah, I picked out one called the Monroe Rose, which has like a really subtle scent. And that was really great. I've been to two or three florists, and she was definitely the most helpful. I got quite a lot left to do. I'm having quite a bougie couture wedding on a Primark budget. So, got to make a lot of things myself, like the centerpieces. I have the elements, but I don't have them together yet. And that's quite difficult when you can't see, is to pick things out, I guess, without having too much influence from the outside. Like my mum's like, oh, what about if we just try this? And it's like, okay, great, but you had your day. This is about me.
And where can people follow your newest updates and hear more about how the planning is going?
Twitter, so I'm at Angie Beatdown. That's where I put my stream of thought, if you want to follow me there. Or Instagram, I'd be posting some like subtle hints towards my wedding every so often with alt text included. Come November, you'll probably see most of the photos. Be prepared for the spam.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here at RNIB Connect Radio, Angharad, and I hope the rest of your planning is seamless and the day is absolutely beautiful.
Thanks so much for having me.